All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is episode five.
Six?
We've done.
It's episode five.
Man, I'm losing track.
We had the first one.
My house.
Your house.
Amy's. Sam's. And Shannon's. So here.
That's it. This is five.
Yeah.
Wow, that was a beautiful beginning of episode five.
Maybe it's six. No, it's definitely five.
We discussed things to talk about during the show. Now we need to start remembering which episode that we're on.
Wait till we get to episode 100. It's going to be insanity.
Different porch this time, too.
Different porch. We have succeeded in switching up porches every single time. Today we are broadcasting. Actually, tonight. It is a late night edition of the Porchcast. I feel like there should be like some baby making music in the background. Like,
after 10 o'clock on a Wednesday. Well, 10:30 on a Wednesday. We've got background noise provided by patrons of Illegal Pete's.
Yes, we are here.
And by Broadway and Alameda right behind
that's
us.
Right. It's the South Broadway location of Illegal Pete's. Big thanks to them for allowing us to broadcast.
Staying true to my form of announcing the address of where we are, we're at 270 South Broadway.
I was just about to say
I don't know the address of this place, but it's right on the glass door leading inside, right across from where we're sitting.
I wonder if we ever get to the point where we're popular enough where people will refuse to come on the show unless we promise that we won't read the address.
Yeah, because otherwise they'll have
paparazzi. Because I feel paparazzi. Like this is a tradition now.
They'll have paparazzi hanging outside the door.
Yeah.
Someday.
Well, anyway, it is Wednesday, July 23rd. I'm gonna actually say that because this is going to be a timely podcast. We're going to get this up for the second time in a row. We're gonna hopefully get this up on time because we got a big show. We're bringing on Chris Heckman, lead singer of the Epilogues. Hopefully he'll be here in a little bit. But he's going to be talking to us a little bit about the Underground Music Showcase, which is happening around Denver this weekend.
So bummed I'm not going to be here.
I know. JP, this is right up your alley, too.
I know.
But
I don't want to talk about it.
Nevertheless, lots of good things happening outside of UMS as well. So we're gonna be talking a little bit about everything else as well.
Yeah.
We've got Beer Camp coming up on Friday. We're gonna talk about Justin's recent trip to LA and his biking adventure and biking adventures coming to Denver.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna talk about a recent study that just came out about the happiness benchmark, which is pretty interesting. And we've got a lot to hit on today.
Totally. And I think the crazy thing is this is not the first thing that I've done on a microphone today.
That's right. I saw your Instagram. Tell us a little bit about the podcast that you're on.
It's actually a radio show on the public radio station in Fort Collins, which I used to co-host in my previous time living in Fort Collins. And I was I had to go up to Fort Collins today to meet with an insurance claims adjuster to look at the roof on my house that I still own up there. Because it has severe hail damage, so I'm going to get it. So I had to go assess that with them, and then I had to...
Hashtag real world problems.
Yeah, exactly. And so then I had to... and then I also had to do some stuff at the brewery in Fort Collins, and I was getting ready to head back down to Denver, and I was like, man, it's 5 o'clock. I don't really want to leave. I don't really want to drive to Denver just yet. And got a hold of my buddy that lives up there, and he said, meet me at Road 34, which is over on the west side of CSU. And I was looking on Facebook not more than a couple minutes later than that, and my other buddy, Zach, was like heading over for Bikes and Beer, which is the name of the radio show. And so it was on the way, and so I just pulled up in front, and I've since moving to Denver, kind of fantasized about just dropping in unannounced for an appearance on the radio show. And so I showed up like a few minutes before and just sat outside the front door, and they came rolling up, and they're like, you guessed it, are you going to be a guest on the show tonight? I was like, I think so.
You're like, I'm hosting the show.
So it was really fun to kind of do that and met this guy that used to work at Odell Brewing Company in Fort Collins that works for this brew pub in Austin called Pint House Pizza, I think is what it's called. I'll have to look it up.
Sounds about
but
right.
It's a pub in, Pint House Pizza in Austin, Texas, and they've got, he was telling us about like it's a pie that they have called Freedom Pie, but it's spelled F-R-I, T-O apostrophe M. So it's like a Frito pie that they do, like Hormel chili.
Right up my alley.
Hormel chili and Fritos on a pizza.
It's like a walking taco, except on pizza.
So, and you know, he brews beer for them, and it sounds like a cool spot to check out. So,
yeah. But the show went well?
Yeah, the show went well. It was a lot of fun. A little, you know, little walk down memory lane. And then
were the guys bitter that we paid thousands of dollars to bring you, to steal you away, poach you away from
exactly,
their show?
Exactly, yeah. They were bummed that I got a better contract. no, actually, my buddy Zach. So Zach Yendra is pretty well tied in with the beer and bicycle community in Fort Collins. And regularly utilizes his access to the radio show to get media passes for events in Denver, and he was really psyched, and he's like, I'd love to be on your show sometime, so hopefully we'll get Zach on here at some point to chat about some stuff.
When he comes on, we won't mention that we threw in Kevin Love and Cash Considerations to bring you to join our crew.
Exactly.
So I think that they might still be a little bitter about
that.
Anyway, let's jump right into our topics today. First up, let's talk a little bit about Beer Camp. This event's happening, once this podcast comes out, it will be tomorrow night, Friday night, on the 25th of July. Sierra Nevada is rolling into town as part of a seven-stop tour of the U.S. They started out in Chico, California, and they're ending at their North Carolina brewery, which will be opening fairly soon, I believe, right outside of Asheville. So the idea behind Beer Camp is essentially a few months ago, they brought together seven breweries to come brew beers, or actually 12 breweries, I believe, to brew beers, collaboration beers with them. And some phenomenal breweries were involved. You know, Oscar Blues,
Bells.
We had Russian River, Firestone Walker, and basically every brewery kind of helped them to figure out which recipe they what recipe they wanted to brew, and the resulting beers were sent out in 12 pack cases, and now they're touring the country showcasing these beers, and they also had an open invitation to all the breweries in the U.S. to come out and join them on this tour. So the neat thing about these stops is that each stop averages around 100 breweries that come out. They'll be pouring two of their beers, and then they'll also have some of the collaboration beers from Sierra Nevada and those collaboration breweries. And it's going to be a big brew fest. So I think it's a really awesome idea. It's really hitting home on the collaborative nature of the industry. Kind of in this time of litigation and growing pains within the craft beer industry, it's really great to see one of the biggest craft breweries in the U.S. returning back to its basis and kind of focusing on that collaboration side of things.
Yeah, it's an extremely ambitious tour that they're doing. It's kind of a big deal to create something of this size and of this scope and this scale.
Absolutely.
And take it across the country. I mean, I was looking, they've got like a full-on like Madden Cruiser style RV that they're taking across the country.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was just looking up on their website at some of the beers, you know, and it's just, Allagash, Russian River,
Glarus.
The ones we mentioned, New Glarus, Asheville Brewers Alliance, Ballast Point, Three Floyd, Cigar City, Victory. So yeah, I mean, they definitely brought in some pretty heavy hitters in the craft beer world to brew some of these beers. And the one here in Denver's at Civic Center Park on Friday night. I think it goes from 5 to 10.
Yep.
And yeah, it's should be a pretty good one. I'm not going to be here for it, but it's should be a pretty good event. And
tickets are still available. I believe they're $65 a piece.
$65 bucks a piece, which, I mean, what is that?
That's a pretty hefty price, but you know what? It's all you can drink during that time. They've got live music that's been touring with each of the stops. They're friends of the breweries.
Nice.
And it's gonna. I think it's pretty good bang for your buck, especially if you didn't get a chance to pick up one of those 12 packs. I've heard rave reviews about the beers that were created in that collaboration series. Really great chance to showcase and try some of those phenomenal brews, and then also, from what I've heard, breweries from Nebraska, Kansas, you know, all around the surrounding area, Utah, are coming out to help join in on the celebration. But also some phenomenal local breweries are taking place as well. So should be a great experience. We're going to be there covering the event, so come say hi if you see us.
Are you guys just going to be wandering around, or are you going to have a...
We'll be wandering around, yeah. So we're just going to be taking in the scene as well.
Cool.
We're really excited.
It's like March 4th Marching Band is playing, and if you've never seen them before, they're pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
Have you seen them?
No, I haven't, but I've heard that they bring a huge cavalcade circus experience to it, if you will.
It's pretty rowdy, yeah. I've seen... They toured with the Tour de Fat for a while, and then they've... I've seen them at the High Sierra Music Festival out in Northern California a couple times, like late night, 1 a.m, in this like funky old warehouse shack thing, and yeah, it was pretty
exactly rowdy. Where you want things to go down, in a shack, a funky old shack.
Yeah.
Creepy old shack.
Exactly. I mean, it was a warehouse.
There's some murdering happening.
It was a warehouse, but like a small warehouse.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your trip to L.A.
So I took a trip to Los Angeles this past weekend. My coworker created this event. It's an event, but it's more than just one event. Her and this bicycle nonprofit out of Los Angeles created this group, this club called the Los Angeles Explorers Club, and it's a pretty basic premise, really, where it's the way I don't know how each one of them is going to run, but the way this one ran was, we started at a bar in downtown LA, and we ended at another bar just outside of downtown LA, and we looped around about 8 total miles of LA streets, and it was $10 per person to participate, and that got you 2 beer tokens, and you know, like a commemorative patch that says LA Explorers Club on it, and you got a beer at the start and a beer at the finish, and in between, we stopped at like historically relevant buildings. We had a guided tour from this tour guide in downtown that took us through the plaza where the city started, and went to the Edison Electric Company and some other spots. So it was a really cool event, and it was just a great way to learn about the history of Los Angeles and see the city in a way that most people don't necessarily associate with Los Angeles, because there's a great cycling community there. You know, it gets a bad rap for being a congested, heavily trafficked automobile city, but it's 75 degrees year round, and
it's pretty bikeable.
Yeah, there's definitely bike lanes and great ways to get around the city on bicycle, and it's only growing more in popularity, and it was a really impressive thing. It was like 175 people rolling in a huge group through downtown Los Angeles, not trying to make any sort of statement about bicycling or bicycles versus automobiles or anything. It was just 175 people out there to have a good time and learn about the history of what I think, honestly, is one of the really cool cities in America. Like, every time I go to L.A., I have a great time, and I think it helps that I know people that live there that can kind of show me around and stuff, but I just think it's such a fascinating place because it's just, you know, it kind of rose to popularity in this period of time when the automobile was coming up and America was booming, and then it got to a point where, you know, like the Dust Bowls and the Depression hit and a ton of people moved to LA to try to make a life for themselves there. And the movie business and all this other, you know, like these thoughts and dreams of fame and all this other stuff. And I just think it's a fascinating place.
Absolutely.
And I enjoy it every time I go out there. So it was a really quick trip, just 2 days. And, you know, I would love to go see this event again. And it's created a pretty good buzz amongst a lot of people out there. And it was a fun event because it was people of all ages, backgrounds, abilities, that were out having a good time on bicycles, and a couple beers to start one beer to start, and then a couple beers to end, and that was that. And a lot of great knowledge learned in between. And now I would love to
kind of segue. New Belgium's actually doing a bike and beer type event coming up.
Yeah,
tell us a little bit more about that.
So I've partnered with REI. That's right there on 15th and Platt,
and Bike Denver to create a bike in movie series. So we're calling it the Cycle In Cinema on Platt. And,
nice. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's an event that my coworker Brian Simpson started at New Belgium like 11 or 12 years ago, and then he kind of phased himself out of the role of running it and putting it on, and I got to a point where I was taking it on for a few years in Fort Collins and doing the event, and it's a really fun event. And as I, you know, picked up and moved to Denver and kind of brought it with me, and partnering with REI to use their parking lot that's right there on the corner 15th and Platt, right across from my brother's bar, and across the street from the REI building. And so August 14th, 21st, 28th, and
what are the movies?
We've got Dumb and Dumber, The Goonies, and Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
Awesome.
And so yeah, movies that are funny and
family friendly
for the most part. All ages are welcome, and we'll have cans of New Belgium beer, and all proceeds go to Bike Denver. The door fees and the beer sales all go into Bike Denver. To have them basically help make a better cycling community here in Denver. And we're selling tickets through Night Out and the Imbibe website, through their ticketing arm, which is called Night Out. And so I haven't checked today, but the link to the event should be up on the Imbibe site soon, and it's also on the New Belgium Facebook page as well. So
fantastic.
Yeah, I'm pretty psyched about it. We just kind of started promoting it this week, and it seems to have gotten a pretty good amount of attention so far. And this is kind of where REI sits, right below the Highlands, right outside of downtown, right along 15th Street, where there's that nice bikeway through downtown, and right at the confluence, you know, the two bike paths meet up right there. So I feel like it's a good location to kind of draw an event like that, and hoping people show up and have a good time and watch some movies, drink some beer, and raise some money for a great local nonprofit.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to kayak into
that movie. Would be rad too.
Or I'm going to kayak and then jump out of the kayak onto rollerblades.
Rollerblades come up again. I had a friend post something on Facebook today that was like, new fashion trend, rollerblades and high-waisted short shorts.
I told you. People, these hipsters are trying to make it a thing. I'm not about it. Unless everyone starts wearing Mighty Duck 2 jerseys, then I will be completely about it.
You're gonna hate on it until one of these days somebody has a pair of rollerblades that fits your feet perfectly, and you're gonna put them on and you're gonna start gliding.
It's gonna be like Cinderella with
you're gonna be hooked all over again,
and then a hockey stick appears in my hands.
Exactly.
And I start doing the knuckle puck. Yeah.
Yep.
It'll be great.
So,
all right, well, why don't we take a quick break? Chris actually just showed up. We'll bring him on the show. We'll talk a little UMS action. This is the Porch Drinking Podcast, a.k.a. The Porchcast. We'll be back. All right, we are back with the second half of the Porchcast today. This evening, yes, the late night edition of the Porchcast. We are joined by Chris Heckman of the Epilogues.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going, Chris?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing awesome. Well. Yeah. And so we brought Chris on to talk a little bit about the UMS, the Underground Music Showcase, which is happening starting tomorrow. Well, as of when this is published, it'll be today, tonight. The Underground Music Showcase runs from Thursday through Sunday, and it will feature some tremendous national and local bands here in Colorado, and it's going to be actually right here in the heart of where UMS will be happening. Illegal Pete's is one of many venues taking part of the festivities, and it's going to be a pretty awesome experience.
It's usually a pretty good time, and they've kind of upped their game a little bit with they bring in a lot of national acts this year. In the years past, it's been a pretty big local festival, and they got some great headliners coming in from out of town. I'm really, Real Estate is probably one of my favorite bands. I'm really excited that they're going to be playing.
Nice. So.
How many years has it been going on? Do you know?
I think this is the 14th. Yeah,
14th?
We've been playing it for like 7 or 8 years.
Awesome.
So I know it's been going on for a really long time.
That's sweet. Fantastic. Yeah, and I actually recently saw a post online about, I can't remember what the the actual medium was, but someone talked about, you know, breakout bands that stem from the UMS,
yeah.
And it was really cool to see you guys listed at, among some other notable names as well, right?
Absolutely.
So, you know, I got a really cool experience this past year. I got to experience South by Southwest down in Austin, Texas, actually with you guys. That's where we first met, I think. And you know, kind of learning a little bit more about the history of South by and also UMS. This is, I feel like we're at a really cool point right now where it's very similar to the beginning stages of South by.
I agree. There's a lot of like outside sponsors that are throwing their own day parties. And I think that's the first time that's actually happened here for UMS. And that really, you know, there's mixed reviews on it, but I feel like that's really where the heart of festivals come from, where it's not just, you know, it's not just the promoters putting it on, it's outside promoters just really hyping it up and bringing more people into it.
Totally.
And getting everybody excited about it. So,
and you know, the cool thing too is that right now it's still, I feel just from an outsider's perspective, it's a great opportunity to showcase tremendous music, you know,
mm-hmm.
and especially tremendous local music. And you know, just from what I've heard about South by, that's really how it got started. Is it served as a medium to showcase great local music and potentially get artists signed. And I think they're doing from what I can see, they're doing a pretty solid job this year of kind of tying in some of those national acts to bring in bigger crowds, and then also just listening. I've been doing some research about the bands that are playing, and you know, there's a tremendous wealth of talent out there.
There is. And, you know, Colorado's got a deep pool of talent that, you know, I don't think a lot of people realize. I know everybody talks about it, but if you really go and analyze all the bands that are from here and across all the genres, there are so many great acts. And, you know, frankly, we tour around a lot. We don't see this, you know, broad spectrum of different artists. You know, you usually get like one niche here or one niche here.
Absolutely.
And what's going on here is that it's really blown up over the last few years, where you've got all these little subgenres really, really thriving, because Denver really is a music city and people do love to come out and go see live music. So
yeah.
It's working.
Were you from Colorado originally?
Yeah.
Nice.
So we're from Aurora originally.
Awesome.
But I've lived in Denver for about 15 years now.
Excellent. And how have you seen the music scene kind of transform and evolve along the way?
You know, when we started, it was really different. I'm trying to think. It's so long ago. But, you know, there wasn't... The only platform for national attention was KTCL at the time.
Yeah.
That was the only way to get out of Colorado.
Sure.
And that was what we kind of shot for, and that's how we got out of Colorado. But now there's other avenues, you know, that exist, that, you know, everybody's finding new ways of breaking out and getting out of, just out of, like, we're so isolated here geographically,
sure.
that it's so important to find something that can help catapult you to that next level.
Totally.
And now we've got more than, you know, I'm trying to think of the examples, but there are several different, you know, agencies and groups that help bands get out of here and
help promote great music.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. So for our audiences, we're gonna play a little bit of your all's music, if we get it all set up, you probably would have heard a little bit of the epilogues at the beginning of the show, and we'll definitely play the full clip at the end. But tell them a little bit about your music. How would you describe your music to someone who's never heard it before?
Right now, you know, it's alternative rock. You know, we've always tried to put a strong emphasis on the songwriting. Like, you know, that's my big thing. I went to school for songwriting. I really value, you know, cohesive, well-written songs. That doesn't mean that, you know, we're opposed to, like, some of my favorite artists or, like, you know, noise bands or something that's, like, good at creating a mood. But
sure.
For us, the thing that seems to be working is start with a song and then we'll build around it. So, you know, we're indie rock. I complain a lot in my lyrics, so, you know, we often poke fun at that. But it's a little darker, a little bit smart, if you want to call it.
Sure.
Anything.
I don't know if this is an accurate description. Just from my own thoughts, I kind of draw comparisons to like Silver Sun pickups and Smashing Pumpkins a little bit. But yeah, it's amazing. I've really fallen in love with the music since I've started. I mean, I started listening to you all a little bit before South By, but really seeing you guys perform live, it's a different experience. And got to catch you guys at the Red Bull Sound Select performance over on South Broadway earlier this year as well. So yeah, definitely a phenomenal opportunity to catch them here at the UMS. Tell everyone when and where you guys will be playing.
We're going to be doing... Question. I got
looked down
here.
I think we've got it.
Let me look on the internet.
I think we've actually got it pulled up.
So yeah, we're playing Saturday. We're playing two times on Saturday. We're doing a day party at like 4 at Brendan's, and then we're doing the Three Kings at 11, and then I'm doing a solo set on Sunday at Irish Rover at like 8 p.m.
Cool. That's awesome.
That's the hardest set because Everybody's burnt out on music. So yeah. I'm offering. Kind of a pitch where I won't make you dance or clap your hands or participate in any way, shape, or form because, you know, we are partied out at that point. So.
Right.
That Saturday show is going to be super fun.
I think it'll be fun.
It's going to be high energy. I don't know. Personally, I am super excited about the Underground Music Showcase. I don't know why. I do know why. It's great music, but for some reason, I feel like there's this energy around it this year that I haven't really seen before.
Yeah, it seems like it's bigger this year. It's a little bit more, you know, well organized. Yeah. It looks like everything's starting to really hit on the right cylinders. So.
Sure. Now, we talked a little bit about Ural's music. What other bands out there should people be looking out for? What other artists should people be looking for if they're coming to the UMS?
I think that everybody should see Real Estate. I think that's just the first one.
Sure.
There's, you know, all the nationals that are coming through really are. They're not the most well known, but they are all really, really good bands, and I think it's important to kind of like it'll always be a good experience seeing that. A lot of people just don't branch out, and they just want to see the bands that they want. But these bands are really it's worth the time to go out and see them. But you know, even locals and you know outside just underground.
Any locals in particular that you guys have kind of been following or are big fans of?
Well, like our best friends are sitting right over there. We got Noise FM and Photo Atlas. They're always a great time, cool. And it's just like for those high energy shows.
Yeah.
I've got my list of favorites like South of France, and I kind of like the Lower Key stuff. I don't know if Centennial's playing, but they are hands down my favorite Colorado band here. But I don't think they are. I don't know. Don't quote me on that. But you know, there's tons of bands. I don't know. I'm just gonna draw a blank. I hope Sunboy's playing.
They are. Okay. Yeah. Sunboy is definitely one.
They're
that
becoming
I'm
my new favorite
soon.
Band.
Yeah. Kind of psychedelic-y, like kind of the throwback feel.
See, they're doing it, like we're writing a lot of new stuff and a lot of different stuff, and they're doing everything that we're trying to do, and I feel a lot better than we do it. And I go, oh, no.
So, they played at the Greater Than
Social Club
a couple weeks back. That's right. Yeah.
So I don't know, Snake Rider or Snakes playing. I'd love to see them. Yeah. I always enjoy seeing them.
Those guys are awesome.
They're really good.
Yep.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for coming and joining us on the show. Any beers that you're drinking right now that you're really digging?
Oh, I don't know. It's going to be a lot of them this week, but I don't know. Off my head.
Absolutely.
I got to keep that under control. I think one year they got a photo of me like literally passed out right down the street. I don't know what day it was.
Oh, on South Broadway.
Oh, yeah, during UMS. Yeah. Where I was just out on the sidewalk. So.
Well, it's going to be rowdy for sure. And for those of you who haven't gotten tickets yet, they're still available at the Underground Music Showcase website. We have a full event preview on our site, which actually, cool story. We got, this is super nerdy of me, but I sent out the post on our Porch Drinking account, Twitter account, and it got retweeted by Tom's Home Cookin', which if Colorado people know, Tom's Home Cookin' is just the greatest southern soul cooking that you can find in Denver.
Yeah, but you know, I feel like you're giving it away because they only open up until it's gone. So
yeah, well, we won't give too much information.
I'd like to promote them, but not promote them.
Exactly.
Yeah. So then you go there and it's gone. The
food's gone.
They're only open for until the food's gone. It's cash only.
That's the way to do it.
Kind of a hole in the wall, tiny little joint. But they retweeted us, and I was sitting with a friend when I saw that, and I was like, you know what, I'm done. I can die a happy man. I've been retweeted by Tom's Home Cooking, and he's like, you know, didn't you guys get retweeted by NPR? And I was like, yeah, but this is Tom's Home Cooking, so it's all good.
Trumps
here,
everything.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah. Thanks so much for coming on the show. We
Thank
really
you for
appreciate
having
it.
Me. Thank
and.
You.
Yeah, I know we're just kind of hanging out here on the patio, but it means a lot for you to be able to join us.
Absolutely, thanks for having me.
And yeah, we're gonna be really pumped to see you guys here at Saturday night.
It's gonna be fun. Sure.
I'll be working this weekend up at Rocky Grass up in Lyons at a bluegrass festival all weekend, and my coworker and I are trying to work it out where each of us can maybe get to duck out for an evening or something like that. Because usually, like, we get there and we're there all weekend, so. And bluegrass music, you know, I love the people and love the enthusiasm people have for it, but I'm just not as enthusiastic about bluegrass.
The whole weekend of bluegrass is a lot of bluegrass.
Yeah, and you know, like, I work at Telluride Bluegrass Festival, and they usually sprinkle in some artists that aren't very bluegrassy, and so that kind of keeps me energized. But he and I talked today, and he was like, yeah, I'll get back on Saturday afternoon, and maybe you can duck out Saturday night. So if I do get out Saturday night, hopefully I can come back down to Denver and check out some music. And
it'll be a party.
We'd love to see you guys play.
It'll be good. I think that's going to be a good show. I don't think we've ever had a bad Yule Master.
Yeah.
And ever. I've always wondered this. As somebody who's never performed on a stage in front of people, but, like, someone who puts on events, and I have certain events that, you know, you just kind of go through the motions, and some that I get really psyched about, and I've got to imagine, you know, and you always hear about musicians and bands and comedians and stuff that are on, people on stage, like, talking about feeling a certain energy from the crowd. I've got to imagine that when you play something like this, it feels a little bit more high energy and probably a little bit more fun to play, because I'm sure, you know, if you guys are around touring, there's certain shows that maybe surprise you with how much fun you have, and other ones where you are the complete opposite, unfortunately.
Absolutely. You know, the worst part about, you know, if I have any complaint about, you know, playing shows, it all depends on, like, how the crowd, it really does depend on the crowd.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, sometimes we're able to muscle through it, but, you know, I find lately that I just stress out about, you know, is the crowd going to show up? How are we going to do numbers-wise? And that sucks. I hate thinking about that.
Right.
I wish I didn't have to think about that.
Right.
But that's all I think about.
Yeah.
You know, especially now, we've got to be smarter about our business. That's always been our flaw.
Right.
Where we've always been, you know, the creative guys and never wanted to handle the business. And that's just, we had to learn.
At a certain point, the reality of
exactly.
it gets to be that you have to pay attention
exactly.
to that.
Exactly. Yeah. So these events are great because it's going to just be a home run. We don't, you know, people, you know, we love Denver. Denver's been great to us. And,
you know,
we've got a great slot, a great venue, you know, and it's always a great time. People are genuinely enthusiastic. They love to come out, and it's great for
and
us.
And people are going
to
be there.
And we feed off that. And I don't care. You know, it's like, I don't have to worry about numbers. That's what I love about it.
Yeah.
Like, this is the most stress-free environment. You know, whenever we're going into a new city, it's like, what are the numbers looking like? It sucks. I hate that. I wish that wasn't part of it.
Right.
It is. But this is one of those weekends where it's just like, it's a freebie, and I love it because we just get to play the love of it.
Sweet.
Yeah. Well, I'm totally psyched. I think there's going to be an incredible energy surrounding not only that show in particular, but also the entire Saturday night lineup. It's stellar. It's insane.
Yeah.
So definitely get out there. Go see the epilogues. They're going to, once again, it's Saturday night, 11 p.m. at Three Kings Tavern. It's going to be a fantastic show.
Yeah, get there early because you just mentioned that. And, that lineup is stacked. I think the Griswolds are playing. Mm-hmm. Body Seems Electric is playing after us.
Yeah.
It's you're going to want to get there early because there's going to be a line.
People aren't going to be leaving.
Very much like the big events, you know, like the South Bys. Those venues are going to fill up, and you want to be able to be comfortable in there. And it's going to get packed, so head down to Three Kings Tavern early. Once again, the epilogues play at 11 o'clock, but be there. There's going to be some phenomenal shows before and after, as Chris just mentioned. So once again, thanks
thank
for joining
you so
us.
Much. I
appreciate
it.
Yeah.
All right.
Sweet.
Talk to you
thank
soon.
Thank you guys so much. Yeah.
Chris, great to meet you.
Likewise. Yeah. Hopefully I'll see you guys down there.
Cool. Yeah, for sure.
Sounds good.
Right. And then let me know when you guys get this up and I'll retweet it.
Cool.
Sounds good.
Cool.
Thanks, guys.
Yep.
All right. Really great to have a local celebrity.
Oh yeah, we didn't hit. I was like, we didn't hit stop on the record button. We're still going.
Oh,
here.
We're still rolling. This party doesn't end.
Yeah.
One of the things that I really am pumped, and I know that kind of might have come across earlier, but I love the state of Colorado. I love Denver in particular, and also I think events like the UMS. Are one of the things that are really going to take us to the next level. And,
yeah.
It's just really great to see whenever there's such support for creativity in Colorado. I'm a big fan of it. And
yeah,
this is one of those things that is kind of, I've seen it grow over the years. You know, the Lumineers actually played, I think there was an article saying they played like a 5 o'clock time slot on a Saturday a few years ago.
Yeah.
You know, you've had tremendous other bands, a tremendous amount of bands that have come out of here that have also played UMS as well. So
yeah.
I think last year, I want to say, I can't remember who were the national bands, but there were some decent national bands as well that really started to kick things off on a national level here at the UMS. But it's always a great festival. The main stage is like Chris talked about, is going to showcase those national acts, and it's going to be really, really solid. So cool event for sure.
Yeah, it's one of the first things I started that I, you know, I've been hearing about it since I first moved to Denver, and even before that. And you know, Fort Collins has the small version of it as well, and I was gonna say small, but I think that implies that it's somehow inferior, and it's not at all, because the FOCO MX is Fort Collins' version of this kind of style of festival, where you know you can get a ticket and a wristband that'll get you into several bars, coffee shops, restaurants, and venues all over Fort Collins, and that's always been one of my favorite events the last several years, and it's just a really fun thing to be able to do. I really like that setup where you can buy a ticket that gets you into multiple places to see bands all weekend long. And
it's cool when you go with a group too, because you can hop around together. You can separate, come back together as well. But it's just a great opportunity to spend the weekend and just listen to some really great music.
Man, that was a really cool little old like Toyota, like some something RV that just drove by. I don't know what the hell that was, but it totally distracted me. I've never been to South by Southwest.
Yeah.
You know, there's a part of me that feels like it would be an amazing time. There's another part of me that feels like it might be a little bit overwhelming. But you know,
it's overwhelming in the best ways possible.
Yeah.
If you're a music geek, which I know that you are.
Yeah.
You're gonna. I mean, it was honestly one of the best experiences of my life this past year. It was really ridiculous because, as I kind of alluded to earlier, I actually crashed the Illegal Pete's house while I stayed down there.
Yeah.
And I was sleeping on the floor every night, which was perfectly fine. It was so much fun. But we were also, it was the Illegal Pete's team, which consisted of, I believe, 4 or 5 people.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had kind of rotated bands, because Illegal Pete's also has the Greater Than Artist Collective, which you know, they sign artists, local artists, and comedians, and they kind of rotated in those artists throughout the week.
Right.
So we stayed with A. Tom Collins, we had members of the Yoppers, we also had the Epilogue staying in there, all in this house that they rented out for a week.
Nice.
And at any given point, I think there were members of Spokesbuzz, which is a Fort Collins-based musical website.
Yep.
But yeah, so at any point, there were probably around 20 people just jammed in this house, and it was really awesome.
Like, nice.
It was really cool.
Yeah, I went to the Hopscotch Music Festival in Raleigh, North Carolina last summer, and that was... Excuse me. That was a really fun event, and you know, I went for work as we're one of the sponsors of that event, so that was it was really fun to kind of work the event during the day, and then you break down at like 6 or 7 o'clock at night, and you kind of got your map of where you want to go. And one night we went from, we went and saw local natives. They finished up their set, which was pretty rad.
Yeah.
And then we went from there to Earl Sweatshirt for like 20 minutes. And then we went from Earl Sweatshirt to the band called Pig Destroyer. And we were just like, we just went and saw like an indie rock band to an underground-ish hip-hop artist to this like full-on metal band in the span of 3 spots within like 4 blocks.
That's amazing.
And that was what probably the, one of the coolest parts of it is you just have this variety. And you know, like to be completely honest, like my coworker and I were like, all right, this Earl Sweatshirt dude, like, not quite doing it for us, let's go check out Pig Destroyer. And so it's just like
Pig Destroyer sounds
walk from spot to spot, and you know, you can check something out for a little while, and you might be surprised, you might not totally enjoy it, but you might be completely surprised.
Sure.
And you know, you can, you don't enjoy it, you can go on to the next thing.
And it's great to find those surprises.
Yeah.
It really is. Like, I do want to kind of reiterate just how solid the lineup is for this year's fest. I mean, like, honestly, I had not heard of several of these bands going into the festival, but wanting to do research for our preview post on Porch Drinking, I really dove into the lineup and you know, talked to some people who are more in the scene, and also got their recommendations too. But you know, some of these bands have quickly become one of my like current favorites. Like Science Partner is really a great kind of indie rock, kind of folky type band. They have a real throwback kind of sound to them. Roadkill Ghost Choir is a fantastic bluegrass kind of alt country band. We've got Gardens and Villa, which is a national act, which I saw at the Larimer Lounge earlier this year. They're kind of synthy pop. Really solid. And Patrick Deathlefts, who is a local guy, really kind of a mellow sound, but really moving lyrically and really strong performer. And I think he's one of those guys who can really potentially elevate here in the near future.
Yeah, I haven't heard his music, but I've been hearing and seeing his name around quite
totally.
A bit.
And I mean, like Chris talked about too, is the fact that there are so many different genres. Like Kitty Crimes, this Denver gal who just is, as I described in the post, she's got swag out the ass because she's just like this hip hop like rapper, and she kills it. She brings such tremendous energy, and I am super pumped to see her perform.
Awesome.
So yeah, that's the UMS in a sense. But anything else that you'd like to add?
And I don't think so. It's been a full evening of talking into microphones, and this was a good way to wrap it up.
Sure.
And I'm really hoping I can duck out this weekend and check some of this out, because I know it's a pretty great event for Denver, and you know,
it'll be
Rocky Grass is super fun, but it'll be good to bounce out if I can for
totally.
A little while. So.
For sure. Well, real quick, we always end with something that's a little bit offbeat,
a little bit
different. I wanted to bring up a recent study that came out. It was called The Happiness Benchmark in All 50 States. UpRocks, which is a website, they actually published this recently, and they did a study on how much money you need to make income-wise to be happy in each respective state.
I've heard about this.
Yes.
And I referenced it very recently. I don't remember if it was on one of our porch casts or not. I don't remember who I mentioned it to.
Sure.
But
essentially this study was, it states that, you know, earning more money will increase your day-to-day emotional well-being. Again, this is kind of on a generalization, but only to a certain point.
Right.
It says, and this the map show and their graph shows at what salary level Americans reach a happiness plateau, where they don't report better emotional well-being regardless how much more money they earn.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
It is. You know, like the conversation I was having with someone recently is that, you know, money can buy happiness to a point where, and I completely agree with that, because, you know, I feel like,
I mean, really, will a pool full of Swedish fish and Hawaiian punch really make you that much happier?
Right. No.
Actually, yes, it will for me.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
Well, yeah, I mean, that you. It's everybody strives to have more. I feel like, and you know, it's cool to know that there is kind of a level that. Like,
sure.
You know, where it's like you get to it, like you're happy, you know, your happiness goes up with more money that you make, and I completely agree, you know, but it's cool to see that it kind of reaches a level where it doesn't really go up anymore.
It's like not everyone really needs to buy the Los Angeles Clippers, right? Like, I mean, that's not really going to make you that much happier.
Right.
So taking a look at the chart, Mississippi is at the very lowest, so if you... I guess cost of living wise and, you know, everything else that factors into it. If you're living in Mississippi, $65,850 is that benchmark, and that's the absolute lowest in the United States. So if you're in Mississippi, you're earning $65,850 a year, then you are very, very happy. And that's kind of your happiness plateau. Really interesting to see Kentucky, my home state, is two notches below that, which is $67,500.
Yeah.
If we scroll all the way down, of course, we're living in Colorado, which is kind of towards the top, near the top, I guess, and theirs is $75,300. But the very highest is Hawaii, which rings in at $122,000 approximately.
Crazy, but I mean, it makes sense. Like, everything about this list makes sense in terms of the overall economic viability of these states,
sure.
and then the cost of living in these states.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yeah.
I'm very surprised to see Washington, D.C. In second place, which, you know, consider that a state, or, you know, what consider it what you will, and not necessarily a state, but like, that one was kind of surprising to me.
Well, I mean, definitely D.C. is very expensive to live in, but I believe they have such stark levels of poverty and compared to wealth in that area, too. But, I would have thought California.
I would have totally guessed California.
Yeah, I would have thought California or New York. How it rings in is Hawaii's in first with, like I said, $122,000, and then D.C., $104,000. New York is at 99,000, Alaska, New Jersey, California, Connecticut, Oregon, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Maryland, Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, Delaware, Washington, Arizona, Minnesota, Pennsylvania, and then Colorado, and then it goes down from there.
And it's the fascinating thing about this is, like, you know, $75,000 a year is, in Colorado,
Quite a big sum of money is a decent
amount of money, you know, but it's not astronomical.
No,
you know, the thing about something like this is, like, it covers your bases.
Sure.
And that is what you need to provide yourself with, the basics, you know, the nice end of the basics, and then it also provides you with a little bit of flexible income to provide yourself with some treats, like some gifts for yourself.
All right, I want to ask you a question right now. If you all of a sudden started just, say New Belgium, was like, you know what, Justin, we're going to give you a gigantic fat raise, all right? Mm-hmm. We're going to give you a humongous raise, and you're now making six figures.
Okay.
What would be the first gift to yourself? What would be the first thing that you would treat yourself to?
That's hard to say. I don't really know what I would treat myself to. It's kind of like when we had the question about, like, what do you want to do? Sam asked the question a few weeks back, like, what do you want to do before the year's over or something? I was like, oh, yeah. I don't know.
Deep thoughts.
If I had that much, if I was given that raise right away, I would probably buy another bicycle, I guess.
Yeah.
Probably buy, like, upgrade some bicycles and probably make some upgrades on the house that I own.
Yeah.
You know, like, nothing... And then
take a nice trip somewhere, I would guess, would be what I would do. Any one of those three things, I would say, in probably no particular order. But, I don't know. I guess I think about this sometimes where, whenever I see it. The other night when we left Union Station, Katie and I got on our bikes on Friday night after we all had dinner together, and there was a brand new black Lamborghini Aventador parked on Wynn Coop.
Like, now that's what we're talking about, like, here. You started out with this.
No, this is where I'm going. It's like when I see stuff like that, I'm like, okay, that car costs twice as much as the house that I own.
Yeah,
and it's like, every time I see a car like that, that's one of the things I love about going to a place like LA is like, all of a sudden you start seeing the most expensive and the fanciest cars that are out there in the world, and I admire them and I think that they're cool and they're really rad and whatever else, but I don't know that I'd want to. I'm a pretty modest person in my terms of consumption, I guess.
You know what I think is so funny is that we are so just like staunchly middle class.
Yeah.
That A, we wouldn't know what to do with that kind of money.
Right.
And B, that we're just so modest in nature that we wouldn't even want to spend that kind of money on outrageous things.
And that's, I guess,
I don't know if that's sad or if it's like too normal of us.
Yeah.
Or
and I guess that's, and then that's the other piece where I was like, I've always been in a lower middle class to kind of middle class income range my whole life. And that's how I act, I guess. I act in a manner that's consistent with,
your upbringing.
My upbringing and my surroundings. And, I don't know. I guess it's hard to say. Like, what if I all of a sudden did have a shitload of money? Like, would I change? I like to think that I wouldn't change a whole lot, but then again, I don't really know.
I can't wait to see you walking in with chains around your neck, just blinging out.
Jewelry is, that's what I would start buying. That's a lot of money. More jewelry. But how about you? If you woke up tomorrow and all of a sudden you're making six figures, like do you have any? I mean, would you go out and buy anything, or what would you do, or like, what would?
I mean, honestly, same as you. I'd probably
nothing sexy.
I'd probably put a down payment for a house, which is
totally
the most boring thing ever. But
right,
I mean, kind of in like this, like my alter, like this, like faux alter universe, where I'm like where I am this high rolling baller. I've always, since I was a kid, thought it would be the coolest thing to fill a pool with Hawaiian punch and Swedish fish and just freaking ball out for
just to say you did it.
Yeah. But it's funny because I had a conversation with my roommate as I was leaving, and she was like, one day you're going to, she's like, you work really hard, because we were talking about I've been running around all day, got my real job, and then after work I run to meet up with a group and then do interviews and then also come over here to record the podcast here at like 10:30 at night.
Yeah.
And she's like, one day this will all pay off. Portraying will be super successful. And she's like, once you reach that point, like, what are you striving for? And I'm like, honestly, I'd love to get to the point where I can go walk down the street. I can live somewhere where I can walk down the street, hit up my neighborhood diner, be able to afford having chocolate milk, sausage, hash browns, eggs, maybe some bacon if I'm feeling crazy, and read the morning newspaper and do the crossword puzzle every single morning without any kind of worry of having to, answer to anybody else or do anything else. And
now that's a solid goal.
Isn't that sweet?
I like that.
Yeah. Just be able to walk down the street, have breakfast, do the crossword, listen to some great music, and just relax.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny that, we all work hard for some sort of end goal, but
honestly, that's
maybe, it's like, but I always think like, yeah, I like to enjoy working hard and whatever else, but like, how long would I don't know. You know,
at what point? At what point can you stop?
Yeah, or like, if you get to the point where you're like, all right, make enough money that I can wake up and go get chocolate milk and eggs and bacon every morning and do a daily crossword puzzle.
Yeah.
You know, like, how long does that satisfy you?
Yeah.
You know, because I like to think that it would satisfy me for a while, but it might get to the point. But maybe it doesn't. You know, and it's I would love to wake up every single morning and
hey, we can be neighbors. We can both reach that point and we can be the old man walking down the street.
Be like the old guys that you see in the gym locker room to talk about their stocks with, and their
the old guys with their balls hanging out all the time.
Oh dude, one
just
of my
free balling.
I haven't been inside a gym locker room in quite a while, but every time it's the same. The old naked guys that are like gratuitously putting on lotion while they're standing there naked. You're just like, dude, I know you can do this, but why do you choose to do this?
Yeah, they're the original team NF, which
NF?
I mean, yeah, no fucks,
zero fucks given,
zero team, no fucks given.
Yeah,
thank goodness we're a podcast. Anyway,
I had that conversation today when I was on the radio. I was like, yeah, I'm, you know, my buddy Zach was like, so how's Denver? I was like, it's great. And I was like, it's funny that I actually am here today because I'm going to record a podcast tonight. And I was like, I got to a point where I really kind of missed my radio show. So I connected with these guys and we're doing a podcast now. And it's awesome because you can say whatever you want. And, you know, whereas like I got back on the radio tonight and I'm just like, okay. And I was so good at keeping myself in check for so long. And
who's got the drop button?
Yeah, exactly. And we don't really, I mean, we don't. For like having an open forum to cuss as much as we want, we don't really do too much of it while we're recording. You know, I suppose it's a
not overly gratuitous.
Exactly, yeah. Very modest, middle. Right,
yeah,
middle
we're
of
still
the, middle
lower
of the road.
Middle class, right, yeah. There. Even in our radio broadcast.
But yeah, it was. I was kind of having to like consciously keep myself in check a little bit more on live radio this evening. So
yeah. Cool. Well,
I like that little. That was a fun way to end with that little discussion about the media, like the,
totally.
The happy. What was it? The wellness.
The
well be. Well, no. The. Oh man.
We're struggling here. It's the late night.
The late night.
The happiness benchmark.
Yes,
absolutely.
Man, I'll just shoot for $75,000 next year.
All right, and then we can start saving up for our
bacon and egg.
Bacon and eggs. The key element, though, is that chocolate milk. We got to have that chocolate milk in the morning.
I want to be able to do enough crossword puzzles where I can finish the Friday, like the Thursday, like the Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
I guess Thursday through Sunday.
Yeah, totally. Well, I'm really glad that we traded Kevin Love to get you on this show. You've been a fantastic co-host so far.
Who's Kevin Love?
Timberwolves basketball player.
Oh.
The whole trade talks with LeBron and trying to get Kevin Love on their team.
Ah, okay.
Anyway, fantastic episode once again.
Yeah.
Really, really big thanks to Illegal Pete's for having us host here on their patio porch, if you will. And then also big thanks to Chris Heckman of the Epilogues, who once again performing Saturday night at 11 o'clock at the Underground Music Showcase. And thanks, Justin, once again for joining me. And
pleasure to be here.
We're really bummed, you know. We're missing Sam today, and it's just not the same.
It's like losing a limb temporarily.
Yeah, we're lizards, so we'll grow him back.
Oh, well done. He will be back.
He will be back. Hopefully next episode, which will be episode 6. We'll try to remind
ourselves.
We'll
have to remember that one.
But thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you guys next time. This has been the Porchcast.
Late night Porchcast.
Late night.
Have a good night. Chicka-pow. Lost.
faces looking back at me.